Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Monday and Tuesday, you have to deal with me in person, in studio.
I can't wait.
I'm going to be up there.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. You know what that means. I'm going to annoy you for 48 hours on You Should Move Up Here and how great the show is, and we're together. So I can't wait for that. Yeah, it was weird. It's weird.
I'm going to have an itch on my forehead.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm going to have a right jab that's going to be good for your chest, too, when you get here. So don't you worry.
No physical abuse yet.
Not yet. It's coming. It's coming.
Young, I disrupted his routine. I'm taking up his space. He's used to having this whole table to himself.
Right.
Used to being able to hide things outside of the camera
shot. It's my coffee section here, and you're in it.
And Kristen had to bring the trash can back in so that someone could pour the hot water from his preheated mug into the trash and then fill his cup with coffee. I've witnessed it again.
Yes, you have.
It's PFT Live.
It's trivial. I mean, does it really warm up the cup enough to where it makes a difference? I don't know. I feel like it does. I want my first sip in the morning to be premium, right? So I'm trying to optimize that.
I think the whole cost-benefit balance favors not dumping water into the basic office-sized trash can that someone else has to deal with. I think that tips the scales.
That tips the scales. That's
again,
the
it's
answer.
Doing something I've never heard anyone do before. I mean, this is like revelation in Seinfeld when Mr. Pitt was eating a cookie with a knife and fork. Like, I've never seen this before in my life. Somebody putting water in their mug so it's sufficiently warm when the coffee is put in the mug. The coffee warms the mug.
Right.
The coffee wins.
Right. I know. I feel like it might take away from my warmness and my coffee, though, when it hits the cold mug, right? So I'm like, I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know where I got it from either. When you said Seinfeld, I was like, yeah, this is kind of a quirky, weird thing that I do.
Yes, it is.
It definitely is. And as you know, they put the garbage can in the hallway because they're annoyed with me.
It goes from being quirky and weird to affecting in a negative way the life of someone else when
I know.
You dump the water into a trash can.
I know. Why
not
is that
some big giant trash can? Well, it's a little office trash can.
I hear you, and I get it. And I go, well I understand. I guess it's a no-no. But I sit there, and I just watch three men in the coffee area, one throw a half bowl of milk within it and cereal, and he throws in the garbage. So what's the difference between that and a little water in there at the same time? Right?
One, there is no difference. Two, it's usually a bigger can of garbage with a thicker...
Yeah, right. Okay. More room to
more
mix together
and everything.
More impervious
bag. And right. It's not... And I think you kind of expect, like at a coffee station, you kind of expect...
Stuff like that.
Although I've noticed signs recently when I am out and about, like at Starbucks, because somebody will get a coffee filled all the way to the top and they'll pour like, 2 inches of it out. Please don't do that.
Yeah,
just ask for space so you can pour cream
milk
in your
coffee.
So there isn't a bunch of coffee at the bottom of the bag by the end of the day.
Okay, all right. I'll adjust. I'm going to adjust.
We'll see.
Actually made
I'll be
me
back
feel
tomorrow.
Bad.
Yeah. We'll see if you do it tomorrow.
We will. I don't know why I do it. I don't. I will say that physical abuse is coming your way. I mean, it's definitely coming your way. I've had a number of people over the last week like, hey, when he gets here, give it to him for me, all right? And I had one this morning. As I was walking in here, he goes, make sure you give them. I'm not going to give any names away so you don't hold any vendettas. I know you're an Italian. You might do that. So,
I got here. Yeah, see, I don't use fists. I use bullets in retaliation.
Your Tommy gun.
Just be careful. I was here a half hour early,
right?
By the way.
Wow, yeah. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Half hour.
I took photographic evidence outside, tweeted it so there would be no dispute. I was here at 6:30 a.m. Eastern.
Right.
In the chair. I was telling them in the control room, I looked up and I saw that it was 6:40 in like 10 seconds. And I said, on a normal day, this would be when I'm starting to think it's probably time to get in the shower.
Oh, my gosh.
So
that's amazing.
I was here and ready to go.
All right. Well, you're here. 2 days, you and me. And you're here because tonight we have to go to New York City for our NBC Football Night in America. We got a little dinner where we have a lot of the big sponsors that are a part of, and we got to shake hands and do our good duty for the company.
And yes.
You have nothing else to say.
I have nothing else to say.
And that's why Mike's here.
I have nothing else to say. I've avoided it for 4 years.
Welcome to
I'm
New
back.
York. Yeah, you're back, baby.
This is one of those things that we're not required to do,
right?
But they just kind of want us to do it.
Right.
And nobody ever really.
Yeah, you're kind of right. They kind of just
tell you. You don't have to do it. There's nothing in my contract.
Yeah, they kind of force you to do it. You're right.
Last year I didn't do it, and Rodney gave me shit. Why aren't you here? Are we not a team? So the only reason I'm here is because I don't want to have to hear it again from Rodney Harris.
All right.
Because when he decides to inflict physical abuse, that's when
you don't mess with him. When he flips a switch, he becomes angry pit bull. No. I'm like, I don't even want to mess with him.
I see a look
in his eye where I go, okay, I'll stay away from him.
The
for
difference
a little bit.
Is, even when he is being jovial and playful, he still injures you.
Yeah, yeah, he's
so
too aggressive.
So if he was actually upset, you've got no chance.
Yeah.
He just, I remember.
He's playful. His playfulness hurts.
I remember early on when I was with NBC, and my God, it's been almost 14 years now, but he was walking into a room, and I saw him make some kind of a move, like a quick step as he was going in, and I thought, that's why he's a professional athlete. Yeah. Like, it's just to see it happen in front of you.
Right.
It was just, what did he just do?
Yeah.
What was that?
Right.
You know, and it was just like, it was like a lightning strike. It was so fast.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I know.
It'll be good to see Rodney and everybody else. We'll have a meeting later today.
Yeah.
And I will by then shift into on. That's the hardest thing about it. You have to be on for like 4 hours and you have to talk to people. And sometimes you see people that you've met before.
Right.
And
you don't remember their names. You remember their faces.
Right, but they remember yours.
I know. It's hard. That's definitely a night of that where you're like, hey, gosh, I know your name, but I'm choking here under the pressure.
Nice to see you is the way to go.
I know, right.
I've
or, hey, what's up, man? Or, hey, it's great to see you. Yep. Right, either way.
Nice to see you.
And it is that's what's hard being in our position is we do have people that approach us, and we can be in a room where you do know the names of these people, but it's just coming at you left and right, one after another, and I start to choke under the pressure.
Can I come over and smoke one with you before we go? Maybe that's the way.
Maybe get you going, relax a little bit,
or just walk down the street and smoke one like you did in Kansas City.
Well, exactly, we could do that.
Just burn one off before we go in. Wouldn't that be hilarious if we were just high as shit when we walk into this thing?
It would be. It would be. I don't know if our bosses would like it.
By then, we won't care.
You're right.
Hey, you know what? You know what? They may not force us to come anymore.
We're here. You said you wanted us.
It's the old. You know, they made me cut the grass one time, and I screwed it up so badly, I never had to cut the grass again. If I really screw this up tonight, I'll never be back. But there may be other consequences as well.
Yeah, so I think so. We
fear
won't
not.
That.
We'll be on our. We'll be, and we're just kind of having some fun. We'll be fine. We're happy to be here. I'm happy to be here. There's no place like home, but this is a close second or maybe third. Okay. I got a LaGuardia story for you. I had to go to the bathroom after the flight.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's nice there now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice. It went from being a third world country to
one
like,
of the best.
It's like a different planet.
Yeah.
It's futuristic. It's great. It's
right.
Awesome.
It is. All the wings are settled, do you think, or all fixed now? Like all the whole airport? Because there was still like a wing or two that were this is still crappy old LaGuardia.
I came into you can tell when you're walking through something that isn't permanent new. So there was something connecting wherever I was to wherever I ended up that was the old walk-through hallway that can't be what they intended to be. But anyway,
right.
I had to go to the bathroom. And there's a certain amount of concentration that's necessary when it's time to do the things that you need to do in a bathroom.
Yeah.
The guy in the stall next to me was performing, singing with music on, loudly. And the worst part of it was he was good. And it's like, this guy.
Was he sitting or standing?
The shoes were pointed out.
They were.
So he was sitting.
He was sitting.
And he was performing, and he was periodically, he would thump on the walls to add a little bass drum.
Right.
And it was challenging to do what needed to be done
apparently
while this was happening.
Yeah.
But I thought of you because floor burger.
Yeah,
it's like dinner and a show, I guess. You could drop your burger, you could eat it, and you could get entertained in the bathroom. That was a first. I mean, I've traveled plenty.
That's got to be.
That was a first. But he was good. On top of it all, he was good.
Well, I know. When you said he was sitting in a stall making music, I did not think you were talking
no,
about
not
real
that
music.
Kind of, no,
I was
no,
like,
no.
Wait,
actual
hold on.
Music.
So wait, we're talking
actual,
about real music.
Actual singing. There was no coordination of any other noises with the actual percussion.
Yeah.
There
did you know
like
the song
that.
Or anything like that?
No, I didn't know it, but
no.
It was good. Whatever
right.
It was, it was good.
All right. Well, he's got, I bet, like.
Pete asked me if I applied.
You
got to
be really comfortable there. Was he an employee of the airport? To be in the toilet doing that, singing and performing.
What I noticed when I glanced under the, and this goes back to speaking of Seinfeld, like Costanza was a big proponent of taking the stuff all the way down. Like, why do you have to have any
space?
Why do
you have to see feet? Right.
But feet and the pant legs look like worker, you know, that dark gray.
Yeah, right.
So,
so it could have been.
Maybe he's taking his break and he was waiting to be discovered.
Apparently.
If I had any juice anywhere, I would have said sign
this
guy up.
Bottom line is don't eat a burger off the floor at LaGuardia.
And take your earbuds if you go to the bathroom, at
That's
least
right.
wherever it was or I went. Okay, let's get to it. Plenty to discuss as we get. Let me run this by to you.
Yeah.
By you as well
before
we go forward.
Good.
Because I texted the group last night about this, and I wrote something about it. Scott Pioli, who was a GM in the NFL with the Chiefs, VP of player personnel, which is kind of GM with the Patriots, but everybody works for Belichick. He posted something yesterday, and he works for NFL Network, so he's kind of in the bubble.
Yeah, sure.
He suggested that Mother's Day weekend, maybe they shut it down. You know, there were rookie mini camps. I remember the draft 9 years ago, the way that it landed, it was on Mother's Day weekend. So on Mother's Day, all the people who work in the NFL were rounding out their undrafted free agent classes.
Right.
I can get behind the idea of just shutting it all down on Mother's Day weekend. There's enough weekends in the offseason to do what you need to do. You could have done the rookie minicamp last week, and a lot of teams did it last weekend, a week after the draft. I don't know why anybody had to do anything Mother's Day weekend, and I like it, and I hope that the people at 345 Park Avenue just don't sneer because somebody who's in the cocoon spoke out of turn. I hope they say, this guy's got a pretty good point.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't be doing anything on Mother's Day weekend.
No, I think there's a number of teams that logically think like that. Like, wait, we have like all these weekends. We could have done this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Why did we have to do it on Mother's Day?
Well, they've got off-season workouts too. That's the problem.
Well,
they got phase two.
Right.
And they got the rookie mini camps.
Right.
And they bring in a bunch of tryout players. There's Scott's tweet.
Sure.
They bring in tryout players. They have some veterans in there. They've got all their rookies. They've got their undrafted guys, and they need that mini camp. But there's enough. Throw a dart. There's enough on the calendar to do what needs to be done. I think that Mother's Day weekend could be avoided. And, Pioli makes a point. Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's in season.
It's season. We get it.
Right.
Yeah. No, it totally can be avoided. It can. Now, like, listen, it's just a part of this, like, I don't know. You know, it's just following a routine of, hey, in the second week of phase two, we have a mini camp on the second weekend. If Mother's Day's that weekend, then so be it. I don't even know if they look
they
it up sometimes, right?
They
don't.
Thought.
I think that's kind of what happens there. You know, you do have a faction of people who are aware of that, and that you. I think those are a lot of the teams you didn't see practice. But I think a lot of it's set forth like in a late February, early March, when the coach is like, all right, let me figure out the schedule for the whole organization here for the next 6 or 7 weeks. Because that's usually what a head coach has to do. How are we going to plan this out? Everybody's got lives, OTAs, like you said, mini camps. And they don't even look at some of the weekends to go, oh, wait, is this Mother's Day? Is this Father's Day? Whatever else. But I'm with you on that fact. And the NFL could get behind that and like force that issue with the NFL, or at least put it on every NFL team's radar when, you know, the season is over, and just let them know that this is, you know, it is Mother's Day weekend, and it's a league where we're a bunch of mama's boys to the most, like to the utmost.
What do they say when the camera's on? They don't say hi, Dad.
Exactly right.
They say hi, Mom.
It's a bunch of mama's boys, right? And I mean, we got a lot of guys in the league who come from single parent homes. And of course, in those scenarios, more times than not, it's the mom that has raised the young man. So, yeah, I think that's one that the NFL could readjust, and it shouldn't be that hard.
By the way, Anna Jarvis of West Virginia started Mother's Day.
Is that
a
right?
A long time ago. Wow. Yes. And I'm thinking bigger picture here. It's become such a rite of May, second Sunday in May. It actually would be better. Slide Mother's Day to June, slide Father's Day to July, middle of June, middle of July.
Right. Who cares about Father's Day?
Yeah, I mean,
Day
Father's
anyway.
Day is just, sell some cards, right? Sell some cards and some books, which I got no problem with selling some books because I'm trying to sell one. But I feel like there's so much going on in early May. Maybe they should slide it, and that would be problem solved. But until they do, NFL, stay away from Mother's Day weekend.
Well, I'll give you one inkling here. When I was working in New England, I was there for two off seasons. And one of our weekends, we were there on a Saturday. There's no mini camp or anything. But
no days off.
No days off. But for whatever reason, we were through a crunch of, yes, there was some mini camps and OTAs coming up and whatever. But we were there on a Saturday, and I know I wasn't in the coach's meeting, right? But I thought, we're coming to work tomorrow. We were told we were coming to work tomorrow, and it's Mother's Day. And it's like, damn, it's sweet. But no one's going to say anything. And Belichick is in this meeting with the coaches and, hey, blah, 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 blah. I'll see you guys tomorrow around 10:30. And someone raised their hand and said, it's Mother's Day. And to show that the man has a heart, he went, in his disheveled way, and they all impersonate him after, all right, you can have the day off. So he was totally unaware that it was Mother's Day. He had no freaking idea.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that can happen to some of these robots who are head coaches.
Yeah, because it's what are we doing tomorrow? What are we doing tomorrow?
The second week of all season, I do this. Yeah. So they're just
their good. Maybe Pioli's tweet is the thing
opens eyes
that
up.
Will cause everyone who just blindly makes these schedules take a step back and say, let's avoid Mother's Day.
Right.
And it needs to come from the top. It needs to be a directive from the league. It needs to be a reminder. When the league says something, the teams jump. No Mother's Day weekend activities moving forward, and I can get behind that.
Yeah.
Although we wouldn't have anything to talk about. Although we haven't really talked about anything yet, and we've burned 15 minutes of the show, so we'd find a way to get through 2 hours. Okay, here we go. Carolina Panthers, Frank Reich, head coach, Bryce Young, first overall pick, Mother's Day weekend, rookie minicamp. Here is Frank Reich on the practice reps taken by Bryce Young in his first set of NFL practices.
Yeah, Bryce will get a lot of reps. As we've said, when he's ready, when it's best for the team, that's when we'll look to make a transition. But right now, when we come back out Monday, Andy will be taking reps with the ones. Bryce will be with the twos. But Bryce is going to get a lot of reps. Likely even get a few more than Andy, just as the new guy. So, and Andy, the good thing with Andy is he's logged a lot in the last couple of weeks, and as a savvy veteran, he still needs the work, but we'll focus on getting Bryce as the younger player, focusing on getting him as many reps as we can.
That tells me he's starting week one.
That's what they want.
If they're giving him more first team reps than Andy Dalton, because Andy Dalton's new there. I don't care how long he's been in the NFL.
Sure.
He's new there.
Right.
The guy that's getting the bulk of the first team reps is the guy that's starting week one. And as time goes by, it's going to be a little more and a little more. They're trying to avoid, and we've talked about this before, it's a point you've made. You don't want to create the impression that anything's being handed to the young guy.
Yeah.
He's got to earn it. And they're confident he's going to earn it quickly.
Yeah.
That's why they took him. It gets back to that debate. If you're going to take the guy with the first overall pick, you better be damn sure you're going to get him ready to go.
Right.
And if you don't think you're going to be able to get him ready to go, take somebody else with the first overall pick. That's one of the factors they're looking for. Who can we get ready to go week one? And I think that's part of why they decided to draft Bryce Young.
Agreed.
They're confident they can get him ready to go week one, and they're already beginning the process of doing it.
Right? I mean, that's all we heard through the process was he is ready to go, right? He's an NFL – he thinks like an NFL quarterback, right? He processes like an NFL quarterback. He's had, parts of playbooks and things he's done on college that are, of course, NFL advanced type stuff that he's doing. So I think that is a part of the appeal of why he was so highly regarded, across the league in that capacity. And yeah, they're, number one pick, I look at it to go, it's just, yes, it's a matter of time. It's more of a, you know, how much progress can he make, or when does Andy Dalton not do his best just to open the door for Frank Reich and company to go, you know what, let's start giving him half the first team reps. But yes, Andy Dalton, they're going to play it as, hey, he's been here, he's had a lot of reps, he knows what he's doing, which is very true. And you get to a quarterback that age, even when, you know, Mike, even when they're not, you know, preparing a number one pick, sometimes those guys get lesser reps, right? They've been around the league. The team tries to save their arm a little bit and just keep them fresh and let some of the other guys get reps. But I would think that, yes, he's going to get some with the ones, mainly the twos, but he'll get some with the threes. And then you'll have days where, hey, oh, hey, Andy, you were supposed to get 10 plays this period, but hey, we're going to give you 7. Bryce is going to take the last 3, right? And he's going to start to infiltrate everybody's reps to where he's going to slowly but surely start dominating practice.
Yeah, and it is just a matter of time.
It is.
Before he's the guy. The moment I heard Reich say that he's going to get a few more reps than Andy Dalton, that's it. Game over. Andy Dalton's number 2. Bryce Young's number 1. Barring injury or a complete and total disaster,
yeah,
which they
right.
will work their damnedest to avoid happening.
There it is.
Video of Bryce Young taking his first snap. You can actually see him over the offensive lineman. That's a plus.
You're funny. He does look really small. It's hard not to think that when he pulls
especially
away from the
under center.
Right.
Because what are we used to seeing with small quarterbacks? Shotgun.
Yeah.
Not
right.
up there where he is literally under center. I mean, you can say a quarterback is under center with Bryce Young. When he's under center, he is under the center.
Yes.
But not quite.
Yeah.
Still saw his helmet, which is good. It just reminds me of watching high school football.
Yeah.
When, you know, because when you watch a high school game, sometimes the quarterback looks so small behind the offensive line.
It's right.
kind of like what it is there. But
they
know, they believe, they think he's smart enough to do what needs to be done.
Right.
And we'll see what happens. I can't remember who they play week one, but it becomes interesting right out of the gates.
Well,
I don't know. We didn't pay much attention to the schedules of the teams that aren't getting a bunch of primetime games. Chris is looking at
Atlanta. They're at Atlanta. Just
all right, there
you know.
We go. Bijan Robinson versus Bryce Young right
That's
out of the gate. Little Desmond Ridder.
Right.
See what you can do. Wide open division.
NFC South.
See what happens.
Yeah, they're gonna try to do their best to get him out on the field. Like you said, definitely. Why? It's a young football team. Their expectations are not real high, as we've talked about. You know, they do have some young talent. So I'm excited to see what they do with Bryce Young and what the offense looks like. Yeah, you know, he's got some special things about his ability and the way he plays the position. He's a natural, you know. But I guarantee, just them watching him come on the field the other day, I guarantee there was a few of them were like, man, I can't believe that's our number one pick, that guy right there who's 195 pounds. He's leading. Like, there's got to be that moment. But he's shown that he knows how to play and protect himself, and we'll see what he does with this opportunity.
Do you think that puts more pressure on the Texans to play C.J. Stroud right out of the gate? It's not that they have a ton of great alternatives. I know there's still this argument that Davis Mills is good enough. Well, if he was, they wouldn't have drafted C.J. Stroud.
Right.
But do you think it puts pressure on the Texans and the Colts, who took Anthony Richardson at number 4, if it's so clear and it's so obvious right now that Bryce Young is going to play week one?
I think that you got to be careful about, you know, judging off of other situations. I would always say that can lead you into, you know, bad things or bad situations where you go, wait, well, let's put our guy at number 1. You know, he might not be ready yet, but they're making him 1, so let's us do it. I think everybody's got their own process there. I don't know if they'll feel that pressure. Everybody in all 3 of those organizations knows where it's heading, right? I mean, everybody's going to put all their focus into making those 3 guys the starter by week 1. It's just you got to be careful, and everybody kind of handles the new plays and the adjustment a little bit differently.
I delved into this issue with Jets GM Joe Douglas last week on Zach Wilson.
Right.
Second overall pick in 2021.
Yeah.
And Joe Douglas acknowledged some regret that they didn't have a veteran presence.
Right.
That maybe like a Joe Flacco.
Yeah, they should
have somebody ready to go if there's any doubt whatsoever. They went all in with the youth movement. They never bothered to stop and think, is this kid ready?
Right.
And I look at it this way. If you're going to use that pick that high on a quarterback, you create an expectation that he's going to play in today's NFL.
Yeah, you do.
There's no longer the Carson Palmer first overall pick sit behind John Kitney. It just doesn't work that way. There's a presumption. If you're going to use the pick on that guy that early, he's going to play. And if not him, then pick somebody else who's going to be ready to play.
Yeah.
But you have to be willing to take a step back if you see anything that makes you think the kid's not ready. You have to still be monitoring because you make it worse if you go forward when he's not ready.
Yeah.
So you need to have an alternative.
Right.
He didn't have an alternative.
No.
It was him.
No alternative. Right. No alternative, let alone nobody to show him what to do.
Yeah.
Right? No guy to be like, hey, it's okay. I played a, you know, shitty two games in a row in my life before, too. You know what I did to get better? He had nobody there to kind of show him the way. Even as I can speak to myself as a young kid, I wasn't even playing or the number one pick like that. But I know I've told you before, the benefits I got to watch Brad Johnson and how he handled himself. Right? Or Brian Griese and Jason Garrett was there. I learned little things about how they approach the game, and I was like, whoa, wait, I'm going to infuse that into my routine. Wait. He gets here before the special teams meeting and watches me, film in this room here. Okay, I'm going to start doing that when I become the guy. I mean, so he had nothing like that, let alone, now you're swimming and not mentally, and then physically, you start to be all over the places, which happened, like we talked about, with the sidearm and stepping everywhere and doing all that crap, to where he had nobody to kind of calm him down and set him back straight. And that's why I still have hope for the guy.
Well, and through it all, you've got Matt Corral, who was third-round pick of the Panthers.
It's crazy,
last
right?
Year. I can't help but wonder whether or not they're just going to keep an eye on the phone. Is there somebody else out there that really liked him last year?
Yeah.
Other than Scott Fitterer, the GM of the team, that's the only common link. But you have a brand-new coaching staff. If he's just kind of lost in the cracks here, maybe they can get value for him and he can get an opportunity somewhere else. Because what chance is he ever going to get
None.
In Carolina?
None.
Once Bryce Young is the guy, that's it.
Right.
Unless next year, he's the number two.
Right. He has a similar skill set. That's where I would say it does make sense that way, right? But you're right. They're in a little weird spot here. And then he's coming off Liz Frank injury.
They really liked him. They liked him enough last year to make him a third-round pick.
Yeah.
And he was a guy that you had rated pretty highly.
I made him my number one guy.
So,
we talked to two guys at the Combine, and they said the best player they played against in college football was Matt Corral. They tried to trade him before the draft. They tried to trade him because, you know me, what I think when I hear that stuff, he's got a laser. He's quick as hell. They're going to go, wait, this is our number one pick. His arm isn't as good as the guy we picked in the third round last year. Here's our number one pick. He's got a quick release, but it's not as quick as the guy we picked in the third round last year.
That was the argument you made last year with the Panthers possibly taking Kenny Pickett.
Exactly.
Sam Darnold's there.
And you're going to go,
Sam Darnold slinging. They're like, why did we take
Kenny Pickett?
Yeah.
Right. I would worry about that. Corral has, we'll see what he is as a player. I didn't like the way he looked in preseason last year either. But either way, his physical ability is real. Like, I've heard it from enough people. And, he's kind of stuck in no man's land. I'm interested to see what happens there, too.
And that's the thing. We focus so much on the guys that we know are going to play. But there are so many other guys out there who get just kind of lost in the shuffle.
Just
and
doesn't work out the
there he is, a guy
right
that
way.
We talked so much about leading up to the 2022 draft, who is now just in limbo.
Yeah.
And you wonder what's going on behind the scenes, his representation, and this is another reason why it's important to have an agent, because it's difficult and it's awkward for him to go in to the coaching
and be
office,
like, where do I stand? What am
GM
I doing?
And say, hey,
where's
what
this
go? What the hell?
Right.
What the hell?
Right.
What's going on here?
Right.
An agent takes up that cause for
Definitely.
You and tries to break the logjam. All right, that's the Panthers. The Lions surprised everyone. What's it been? 18 days? Why? Why would you do that?
Damn.
There's no reason.
It was the Lions. It's kneecap time. We gotta get physical here.
You made the comment the other day about chomping on kneecaps, and somebody actually emailed me and tried to call it a Simsism. It's like, have you not paid attention to the last 2 years of
right.
the Detroit Lions,
right.
the whole kneecap thing?
Right.
So.
Anything's kneecap. They don't chop at the bit. They chop at the
kneecap
in Detroit. Right.
So they're chomping at the kneecap to get Jahmyr Gibbs up to speed. He missed some of the rookie minicamp, had some sort of an ankle thing, but he met with reporters and he was asked about this notion that the Lions, who had traded from 6 down to 12 and then picked the Alabama running back there, reached in that spot to get him. Here's what Gibbs had to say.
You admitted you were surprised that you were drafted that high when the Lions took you.
Yeah.
After the draft was over, I don't know if you heard, but people said, oh, that was the one reach that a team made. The Lions went too high. Did you hear that? And what did you think about that?
I mean, yeah.
Like a reach?
I mean, I heard it, but everybody's entitled to their opinion. I mean, I really don't.
Right.
I really don't care. So.
I mean, that's all he
that's
can
legitimate.
Say.
Don't
that's
care,
all he
too.
Can say.
Right.
I really don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I've got no control over this process. I didn't argue that I should be drafted higher than anybody else. I just show up and I find out when my name's called.
That's right.
And that's the end of it.
Right.
Whichever team takes me, and it's always good for the player to be drafted higher than otherwise because you make more money the higher you pick. Now you could still argue it's good to land in a spot where you're going to play and you're going to play well and everything is going to develop properly.
Sure.
It's a short-term win if you get drafted higher. Long-term loss if you get drafted higher to a crap team, whereas if you had fallen another spot or two or five or ten or wherever, you're in a great spot and you're a Hall of Famer and everything goes along with it.
Yeah.
And those are all alternate universes we never get a chance to explore, but we know that it's a factor. We know that one guy is going to be potentially better in one place than he would have been in another place. We just don't have any way to prove it.
No, you're right. It's hard. We talk about it all the time, right? I mean, yeah, it is hard to prove it. This is the perfect situation for Jahmyr Gibbs, though. I mean, perfect. Has everything you kind of just talked about. He got drafted high. They got a good O-line. They got good receivers, a quarterback. He got it all there with this pick right there. And he's special, let alone this is a coaching staff that came from New Orleans before this with Sean Payton. So they have a, wait, we'd like to use an Alvin Kamara-ish type of guy, right? So I think there's that element, let alone, you know, Sean Payton, and we talk about it all the time, is rooted, that group is rooted in physicality too. Size, run the ball. Bill Parcells taught Sean Payton a lot of this type of stuff. So they're believing that too to be smash mouth. He's going to get a ton of touches. He's a special player. Like we talked about in the draft process, there was only a few guys where you could go, here's the ball, and he can score from anywhere. And he was one of them. So, okay, you know, all the draft pundits said he should be drafted in the 20s. They thought he was a top-tier running back in the same class as Bijan Robinson. They had a need for it in their offense. Who cares, right, that they drafted him eight spots too high? Who cares when it's all said and done? If you had a position that you needed and you addressed it with the exact player you wanted it, is there really, who cares if you did it eight picks too high and then took the risk off of not getting him at all and letting somebody else steal him in the process?
They did the same thing six spots later. When they
exactly. So I'm not mad at it.
We talked about it at the time. They had conviction in what they wanted.
They knew what they wanted. Exactly.
And
right.
They could have had Bijan Robinson at six. They trade down to 12. What they didn't pick up a whole lot.
Not a ton. You're
six
right.
Spots.
You're right.
But maybe they like Gibbs more than Robinson. I mean, that's the thing.
I don't think it's as big a gap as the draft world made it be, right? I know I was one that had them both in the same tier.
Yeah.
Right? Bijan was 20 pounds heavier, and he's awesome, but Bijan can't go 70 to the house like this kid can. And I think that's where it kind of closed the gap a little bit, in my opinion.
And that's one of the realities with what I call the draft industrial complex. You've got all these people who aren't working for teams, who are doing their own scouting, but also supplementing it with what they're hearing from teams. They want to get their boards right, so they're listening to what the teams are saying.
Yes.
Because teams may view guys differently than the people who are doing it on their own. You do it completely. I don't know if you do it completely on your own.
I really do. I have more talks of after the process, right? My friends aren't going to tell me like, oh, hey, here's my top three receivers or whatever. We just talk players, right? That's what I do.
But what happens is you do get that disconnect sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Patrick Mahomes. Like, if everybody knew what Andy Reid, Sean Payton, and Mike McCarthy thought of Patrick Mahomes back in 2017,
yeah,
he would have been expected to be the number one overall pick, or at least the first quarterback that year. That was the Myles Garrett year,
right.
So who knows?
Right.
But a lot of it is who's keeping their mouths shut and who isn't. And maybe some people were keeping their mouths shut about Jahmyr Gibbs. And, you know, if the Lions didn't take him at 12, who knows what would have happened? Who knows how long he would have been there? The teams that may have taken him after that have no cause to come out and say,
yeah, right,
we would have taken him.
Right.
They've got no reason to do that whatsoever. They have to rally around the guys they picked. That's part of it. So yeah.
I think there's a lot of teams that had him as a top 20 player in the draft, right? Now, whether they would have taken him in the top 20 or whatever else, that's a different story. But I know I talked to enough teams to know that, like, no, Jahmyr Gibbs is definitely one of the 20 best players in this draft. Definitely, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I don't think it was as crazy. And, again, the whole draft pundits and all that, you're right. There's a little bit of their own evaluation, you know. I'm going to be a jerk here with this comment. Some of them I want to go, I don't know how they got this platform to evaluate anything anyways. I don't know.
Who are you talking about?
I'm not going to get into it. Just want to go, what? They've never been in an NFL anything. They've never been on a football field, but they're telling me what team should draft. There's a lot of that.
Curious who you're referring to.
There's a few of them out there where you just go, what?
Well, then you could name one.
Well, who's ever taught them? Who's ever done this? Where have they ever learned anything from? But they have a big Twitter following and some other things, and we're supposed to listen to what they say on the draft. So the whole process confuses the situation there. Sorry, that was my little spiel of Monday morning.
The issue with running backs is twofold, in my view.
Yeah.
Number one, supply outweighs demand.
Right.
And the question becomes, can you get someone multiple rounds later who isn't that much lesser of a player? And
yeah,
are you getting right. more talent for your draft spot
right.
at another position?
I got you.
Somebody else out there with a gap is
right.
bigger
right.
at 12 or at 15 or at 7 or wherever
right.
when I know I can find an Alvin Kamara in round 3.
Yeah.
Or I can find a James Robinson undrafted, an Arian Foster undrafted, an Austin Ekeler undrafted. Where is the better value? And I don't think the Lions cared. The Lions wanted who they wanted. They got who they got. But the other side of it, too, because this is the thing that can make Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan Robinson come off as a bust. If you get injured, well, the position is conducive
to
injury.
Yeah, right.
Because you are in, as you call it aptly, car crashes over and over and over again. So if it does happen, and it's not like some random fluke thing. We know it's going to happen.
Right.
Saquon Barkley, great rookie year, 2,000 yards from scrimmage. Everything's great. Now we know why he was the second overall pick in the draft. Ankle injury against the Buccaneers week 4, I believe, in 2019, and that started the downward slide.
Definitely.
He tore an ACL the next year.
Right.
But that's not his fault. That's the position.
Yeah.
You get hit. You get hit
in
awkward ways. You're going
right.
to get injured. You're not
right.
Superman. Emmitt Smith is the only one I've seen, and Marshawn Lynch to a certain extent, who's impervious to the whole, you know, getting banged around in every possible direction and still finding a way to keep going. Emmitt was the king of it. Marshawn Lynch, more recently, the guy who just found a way to play no matter what. And that's special, and there's no way to gauge that based upon college experience. And whatever they do at the college level, it's going to be even harder at the NFL level to stay healthy. But that's another reason to shy away from a running back
yeah.
because you're accepting this risk.
Right.
That this is the most dangerous position on the field. I'm going to lose that guy for
yeah.
weeks, maybe months, maybe years.
Right, and I put a very expensive asset into getting him, right? You're right. That's exactly the risk. I think they looked at it and went, no, the guy's special. And I think to your point and what you talked about, weighing that value, they went, wait, there's a huge gap between, you know, these top two running backs and then the third running back on the board, right? And I think that's probably why they were very comfortable with going, wait, we know we need this type of football player. He takes us over the top on the offensive side of the ball. And I think that's why they were willing to be a little unpopular with the draft pundits of the world and take them 8-10 spots too early. But like you said, I think they're a team that's very particular. I think they're a team when you think about Dan Campbell and the group that's there, Ben Johnson and Spielman and everybody, that they are a team that had their board and were like, wait, we have two or three guys that we want at linebacker. And that's it, because we think they're Lions guys. They bite kneecaps. We have two or three guys at running back we want, right? I think you even brought this up right after the draft. They have a short list of what they felt like were their culture type of guys. And I think that's why they were willing to draft those guys a few spots early too.
And it goes to what they're trying to build, and it just builds on what they've done so far the past couple of years. It kind of bottomed out the middle of the 2022 season, and then it's taken off, and now they're the darlings of the NFL with
yeah.
the opening game on NBC Thursday, September 8th. Lions at the Chiefs, and the Lions, a very attractive team throughout the season. A Thursday night game against the Packers. Isn't that wild? They play the Packers on a Thursday night, and then they host the Packers on Thanksgiving. So they play the Packers this year on two Thanksgivings. That's
right.
Got to be a first, that the same two teams
have played 4
played
days.
Each other
right.
on the same day of the week. They play on Thursday night, week 4, and then Thanksgiving, week 12.
That is odd.
And there's a Monday night game against the Raiders, and maybe somewhere on the back end they end up slipping into prime
time,
either Sunday night or Monday night. Remember,
yeah.
this year's the first year of the possible
right.
Monday night flex. All right, the Texans, one of the teams with no primetime games this year, trying to play their way back into the NFL spotlight. Head coach D'Amico Ryans and third overall pick Will Anderson. Here they are talking about Anderson changing from linebacker to defensive end.
It's not a huge position change for Will. Will will be an edge defender for us, and that's what he did at Alabama. All right, most of Alabama, he was standing up. We'll have him down in a three-point stand, so he's not a, it's not a big-time position change for him. We won't have him playing in a over the guard like he did some there later in his career, so it's not a huge position change for Will.
You know, being in Alabama, you know, they play me very versatile. So when we go to any type of flex defense, I was already playing a five technique, which, you know, I'm kind of used to playing on the outside of the tackle. So, I mean, the four was just an adjustment for me, but my regular position was always, you know, hand in the dirt, five technique and stuff like that, keying the outside pad of the tackle. So I'm kind of already used to that. I've been playing that kind of like my whole life since high school, regular defensive end. Alabama just used me in more different ways, you know, differently, but I've had that experience.
Look, bottom line is it's more lucrative to be a linebacker or a defensive end, excuse me, the linebacker. We talked about it recently with Michael Parsons.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? All that talk about Michael Parsons, full-time defensive end.
And they made a...
Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator.
He's going to play the linebacker,
no,
too.
He's still a linebacker. Yeah. He's a linebacker.
Yeah.
He's not making a position change.
They're
he's a pass-rushing linebacker.
Right, right.
But it sounds like Will Anderson is going to be full-time defensive end.
Definitely.
Hand in the dirt. You get paid more down the line, so yeah. It's a good thing. And that's where they see him. And, hey, I'll defer to D'Amico Ryans. And,
of course.
You know, he wanted his Nick Bosa.
Right.
He got his quarterback with two, and he got potentially his Nick Bosa with three. We'll see what Will Anderson does. I know you had others, specifically
Tyree Wilson
higher,
sure.
But
definitely.
We'll see what Will Anderson does.
Yeah, we'll see. It isn't a big deal. I mean, he played the edge of the, you know, the four down front at Alabama. Yeah, they played some three down fronts. He was moved around a little bit. But when you really evaluated him and watch him, they were playing a lot of course, nickel defense, right? Most of college football is throwing the ball. And he was playing defense and stood up more times than not. Like a Lawrence Taylor, instead of maybe putting his hand in the ground, you know, and getting ready to come out of a track stand more like Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa, you know, Myles Garrett and that group. That's what he's going to be asked to do now, though. That they don't want, you know, there's not going to be as much asked of him as there was with Alabama. It's now going to be more of like, wait, no, get wide outside the tackle, get in your track stands, and we want you to go get the quarterback. And we'll see. Yeah, those are the things I did have questions about. He's a really good football player. I wasn't sure if they might use him as a little stand-up linebacker and become a Micah Parsons thing because in my evaluation, and I know there's others out there that are the same way, I did not think he was an elite-level pass rusher. I did not. I was surprised by the pick. I was, but he's a good player. He can do a lot. He's a great leader. He's a culture guy, right? That's what you hear from everybody. And, of course, you know, he is a first-round talent. But I'm going to be excited to see how special he can be as a pass rusher, Mike.
Yeah, and look, the Texans need plenty of help, but they're relying upon C.J. Stroud. We talked about him earlier to get it done at quarterback. Will Anderson to anchor that defense, also provide leadership. That's one of the
things. Yeah, that's where I think.
Liked him,
no doubt.
We'll see what D'Amico Ryan
that's right.
and the Texans can do. Let's take a break because we got plenty more to get to today. When we return, the Vikings on Friday traded away one of their big-name veterans, wanted out. Could they be releasing another big-name veteran on the offensive side of the ball soon? We'll discuss that when this Monday edition of PFT Live continues right after this.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Kirk is back to pass. There's Victor wide open in the end zone. And The schedule has been released, starting week one with the Buccaneers.
Bad punt. Their punter's terrible.
The purple plant to buck the Hurts on Hurts.
We bring you this interconference matchup between the Minnesota Vikings and the Los Angeles Chargers.
Let's go, Vikes!
Five versus the defending Super Bowl champions, the Kansas City Chiefs.
I can't find it. I can't find the first loss.
That's great. Paul Allen, he can never find the first loss. I got a feeling it's the first Thursday night, first short week Thursday night at Philadelphia. Good luck with that one, Paul Allen and company, going to face the Eagles week two for their home opener. That was pretty slick.
That was like,
it's hard to get noticed though between the Chargers and what the Titans did this year. It's hard for anybody else to stick out.
Is that all drone work? Is that like computer graphics? Is that all real? I mean, I don't even know. Like that was pretty cool.
It look like one take.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not right.
I can't imagine there isn't a cut in there at some point that we don't notice.
Right.
But it's still impressive. We see it though. We've seen it. This wasn't something new. And even though with the Chargers it wasn't something new, they've kind of owned the whole anime space, and it's so good and it's so much fun to watch. The Chargers win the day, but the Vikings, nice effort. And that's what they'll be saying that first Thursday night. Nice effort at Philadelphia or not as they go back there. They will be going back to Philadelphia without Za'Darius Smith, who had 10 sacks last year for the Minnesota Vikings and has been a very great pass rusher. He was with the Ravens, and he was with the Packers, joined the Vikings last year. He wanted out after one season, made it clear that he wanted out. The Vikings traded him Friday night. The Browns get Smith plus a 2025 sixth-rounder and a 2025 seventh-rounder in exchange for a 2024 fifth rounder and a 2025 fifth rounder. This is one of those my son and I were talking about. It's the grains of rice trade where you have to give us a pick and we give you a pick and we're going to balance it all out that way and make it look like a fair deal. Look, the bottom line is he wanted out. And they unloaded his salary. I think he had some guarantees in there this year. So they found a way to work it out. They get some value for a guy who doesn't want to be there. And my position has been all along, all due respect to Za'Darius Smith, great player. You get rid of the entire defense and it's not going to be any worse than it was last year.
No.
Collectively, it was ass last year. So Za'Darius doesn't want to be there. We don't want hostages. We want volunteers. You move him on to the Browns, and he becomes now, presumably, the latest Jadeveon Clowney. It didn't work with Clowney the past couple of years across from Myles Garrett. Now we'll see if Za'Darius Smith can get it done across from one of the best pass rushers in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not surprised, right? Kind of one of these things where you just wondered, when is something going to happen? It was kind of been on everybody's radar. Knew he wasn't happy. They got Danielle Hunter. They got Marcus Davenport in free agency, right? Those, you know, that seemed like when they got Marcus Davenport, I thought, well, that's the replacement for Za'Darius Smith, right? So they played the exact same position. So it just seemed like it was a matter of time. And you wondered how it was all going to get figured out. And here comes the Cleveland Browns. And to your point, yeah, it is. It's their new version of Jadeveon Clowney, but maybe even a guy that, you know, has got more pass rush value than Jadeveon Clowney the last 2 years. That's maybe the exciting thing. Now he's getting up there in age, and we're getting the injury.
There's that knee.
Knee
keeps popping up.
Right. He had the back 2 years ago, right? Wasn't it? So yeah, he is certainly at an age where teams start to worry. But for Cleveland Browns themselves, I think this was like the one glaring area of their team where you looked at to go, Who's going to line up opposite of Myles Garrett? What are they going to do here? You know, they got Jim Schwartz, new D coordinator there in town, and it did seem like they were incomplete. And obviously, this is why they had this on their radar. They got it done, and I think it's a good fit for them overall.
So the Vikings defense last year, which was abysmal, they were 13-4, but they allowed more points than they scored. They were ranked 31st, I think, in average yardage per game allowed. Yeah. They've lost Smith, defensive tackle Dalvin Tomlinson, who signed with the Browns early in free agency.
Yep.
Linebacker Eric Kendricks was cut. He landed with the Chargers. Patrick Peterson was a free agent. He signed with the Steelers. Chandon Sullivan, I think, recently signed with the – was it the I can't remember who
it
was.
I'd have to look it up.
I can't remember who it was. But he signed with somebody not that long ago. Cameron Dantzler is now gone. They've added Marcus Davenport, first-round pick of the Saints several years ago, and Byron Murphy, the former Cardinals defensive back. They've added three guys in the draft as well. Again, it ain't going to be any worse than it was last year. This is Brian Flores that's the difference. That's the big difference.
Exactly.
It's not scheme-driven. It's matchup-driven. It's week after week. Yeah. Teaching your guys what's necessary to go face the defense, or the offense, excuse me, that they will be seeing in the next game. Because what happened last year, by the end of the year, your system gets exposed.
Exactly.
It was exposed. Against the Giants.
Exactly.
We've got it all figured out. We know how to beat it, and we're going to go beat it. And that's the thing that Kevin O'Connell told me last week as well. He probably spent too much time on the offense last year. He intends to spend more time working with the whole team this year. Too deferential to Ed Donatell. Too much delegation.
Right.
Take care of the offense. Let's just go out, score them.
Yeah.
You still have to pay some attention to the defense.
Sure, sure. I think he'll be more comfortable this year. I mean, you and I, we're both big Brian Flores fans. I mean, he's the man, in my opinion. And he's going to not only, you know, be better X's and O's and scheme-wise to all the things you were just talking about, he's going to bring a different attitude in there. Brian Flores.
Good balance. It's a good balance.
It is.
It's because it's good cop, bad cop.
Exactly.
O'Connell's got a great way.
He's the smart X's and O's. Hey, check to this.
Get along with everybody.
Get along with everybody. Brian Flores can be like, hey, no, F you. You got to line up right here, and we got to be tougher. Right? And that's what your defense needs. Defensive coaches, they usually got a little bit more of that edge like that, where they can speak a little more frankly to their players than maybe the offensive side of the ball. And I think that's where you change. And to your point, that's the biggest addition. You know, we got into no disguises, no blitzes, no creativity from your defense at all. I mean, we got to the point where we were talking in games like the Patriots on Thanksgiving, where they were going, the Vikings, their run defense wasn't even good, and they were playing pass defense, and the Patriots and other teams were like, so what? You're so bad at pass defense, we're still going to throw it. We don't care how many people you drop back. So that's where I expect you to be a different team. But, yeah, the talent levels, I don't know if it's quite there to think it's going to be like, oh, a top 10 defense or a top 12 defense.
But how much better does it need to be for them to be better as a team? I don't think it puts them in position to compete with the Eagles and the 49ers when you get to the postseason.
Yeah.
Last year, my position was the ultimate ceiling for the Vikings was get blown out in the divisional round. Probably the same this year.
Yeah.
They may not be 13-4. They may go a level higher than they went last year. They may have the defense that's able to slow down whoever they encounter in the wild card round. But they got a long way to go to be the team that can topple the Eagles or the 49ers.
Yeah,
those are the clear class of the NFC. And we know injuries can change things and different factors. And there's always a team that we didn't expect to be good that ends up being good. Or there's a team that you know, we expect to be good that is good, like the Lions. They could disrupt all of this.
Definitely.
But we'll see. But the
Vikings, still got the Cowboys, what we know are super talented, too.
Yeah, but you know, you can just count on the Cowboys to create some expectations and hope.
Do you think this will be the year where they take a deep breath and relax? And
no, I think this is the Mike McCarthy Waterloo year, I think. It's all set up for it all to be his fault when it goes sideways. I mean, it is. I mean, Kellen Moore's out. He's running the offense. I just feel like they're getting ready. Shereen Williams, who's covered that team for years, believes that Dan Quinn's going to be the next head coach, and it's just a matter of time. So we'll see. Maybe it's by next year.
Yeah.
Before we pivot to anything else, though, the Vikings have an unfinished item of business on the offensive side. The Za'Darius Smith situation had been lingering with a sense that something was going to happen. The Dalvin Cook situation
continues
really to linger.
Mike.
Star running back.
Yeah.
Let's hear first from Kevin O'Connell last week when I asked him where things stood with the guy who has been their cornerstone player really since 2017 when it comes to running the ball.
I can just tell you, you know, what Dalvin meant to me, not only in year one, you know, as one of our core leaders of our team, but also just the impact he had on the field. You know, his consistency, his toughness, durability, playing through some different things and consistently being out there for us in critical moments and just some of the huge plays that he made, you know, right alongside Kirk and Justin and the rest of our offensive players, you know, really, you know, will never be lost on me. But, I you know, we want what's best for Dalvin and Dalvin knows that. And we continue to work through, you know, that situation, knowing that the respect that the Minnesota Vikings and our organization have for Dalvin has been earned, but it's more than that, Mike. It's, you know, we care about obviously the player and ultimately he's under contract and you know, very much something that, you know, I don't take for granted having had Dalvin Cook on this team and what that's meant to me as a coach here in year one.
Lots of past tense trickling in, as Pete Demolaitis points out.
There really is. I mean, yeah.
He knows which way the wind's blowing. We all do. We all do. Look, I asked him in that same interview about Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
And there was no hesitation. No timeline on getting a contract done, but he's going to be a Minnesota Viking. That's never going to change. He's going to be here. And then when it's Dalvin Cook, it's all very measured and appreciation.
Yeah.
I think it's as simple
so,
well, as.
So why? Where is this? Why are we at this here? I'm a little surprised by this.
I think it's as simple as Dalvin Cook is due to make $10.4 million.
Right.
In salary this year. $2 million of it's already fully guaranteed, but it doesn't matter. It's subject to offset. If they cut him, he's going to get his $2 million somewhere else. This is about, at this stage of his career, is it worth it dollar for dollar to pay him $10 million when you've got Alexander Mattison? And they like Ty Chandler, who's 25, but he's only in his second season.
Yeah.
So we go younger, we go cheaper, and we devote the resources elsewhere, like to signing Justin Jefferson. So I think it's as simple as that. And the problem is, whatever they would be willing to offer Dalvin Cook less than 10.4, he probably doesn't want. He probably is a point where he would just like his freedom. So he'll take even less than that to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
He's just going to say, no, how about we pay you six? No. How about we pay you seven? No. And I don't know
what their max is.
I don't know what their max is.
Or what he can get on the free market.
But I just get the feeling that whatever they have suggested so far –
he said
isn't enough.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of time before he's traded with a contract revision or he's just cut loose. Because otherwise, what we would have heard from Kevin O'Connell last week would have been more unconditional, unequivocal, unambiguous, he's going to be here.
I get all that you're saying there. I get it. I do. You know, I understand the position, and we just talked about it in the first segment of the show with Jahmyr Gibbs and, you know, the value of the running back or the lack of value because of the car crashes and injuries and all that too. But at the same time, like $10 million for a guy that, I mean, there's only a few that can just run down the sidelines for an 80-yard touchdown like we just talked about with Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, you don't beat the Bills unless he runs 80 yards down the sidelines.
Three moments last year. Let me start with the Dolphins.
Go ahead.
Because a lot of people think he's going to end up in Miami. I don't know that there's a spot for him there, but he's good enough that maybe you make one.
Right.
He supplied like a 55-yard dagger to beat the Dolphins when it was still in doubt.
Yeah.
Boom.
Right
gone.
Up the middle. Right. Yeah, right. I got it.
Down 27-10, third quarter against the
Bills. They don't score quick. They're not going to come back.
80-yard touchdown. Right. One of those moments where you're like, well, this just got a little more interesting.
They're still in this.
Yeah, they're still going to lose.
Right.
But
exactly.
He made it interesting.
Well, exactly.
And then the Colts, the greatest comeback in NFL history. What tied the game up and sent it to overtime? Dalvin Cook with a screen pass, jailbreak, gone, touchdown. So, and look, I know Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the GM of the Vikings, is big into analytics, but Kwesi, if you're watching, first of all, thank you. Second of all, who are you going to replace this guy with? I understand the idea of going dollar for dollar cheaper, and I know that when Dalvin Cook has been injured, over the past few years, Alexander Mattison has done a good job.
He has.
He's still not that home run hitter. And maybe they think they can get by without. They got Mattison signed to a very favorable deal. Not much money there. They have Ty Chandler. And maybe they're willing to go with those guys. Because look at what they've invested into the passing game. Maybe the message here is, we're really not going to be running it all that much. We've got Justin Jefferson. We've got TJ Hawkinson at tight end. We added Jordan Addison with a first-round pick. KJ Osborne is a guy that Kevin O'Connell was very positive and glowing about. So maybe they're just going to make do with Alexander Mattison and Ty Chandler and not expect any big plays from the backfield, any of those 80-yard catch-and-run or handoff and off he goes, and just rely upon the passing game. Pass to set up the run, build a lead, and then pound away with Mattison and Chandler. That may be what they're trying to do. And now that the defense is better, they can get away with it.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. It's a hell of a risk, but it sure feels like Dalvin Cook isn't going to be there.
It does seem that way. I'm still, you know, I listen, I get it. I get it. I know it's easy for me to sit here at a table and talk to you, and it's not my $10 million, and I'm not running a team. And he has a shoulder thing like you've talked about.
Shoulder's fine now. He's been playing with one shoulder. Yeah. Now he's playing with two.
Right.
His agent says that all the time.
I know, right, until he, you know, has to take on Micah Parsons in the hole, and then he's got back to one. So that could be scary, right? But, yeah, things seem like they're on the up and up there. I'm one to sit here just as a guy who sits here on the outside like you and evaluates and watches and all that to go, I don't know. I'd have a hard time letting him go anywhere right now. You know, I still think you're a team that's going to have to rely on the offense and points and yards and all that. You know, yeah, the defense will be better, but how much better? I don't think it's going to be dominant that way. And, you know, like you're talking about, he's special in the fact that he could change the scoreboard in a hurry. There's only a few of them in football. And I know it's $10 million, right? And it's $10 million in cash, but they only, like, dead cap, what, it's like eight-something, right? They're going to save a ton of money cap-wise. To me, when I balance those things out, I'd go, oh, I think I'd keep the player right now for one more year. That's kind of where I land, but that's a tough one at that position.
The other side of it, too, is does he really want to be there?
That's true, right.
It's easy for him to kind of fade into the background and not say anything when he knows that things are being worked out behind the scenes that quite possibly will result in him being gone. He doesn't have to take a stand. Maybe he's made his wishes known that he's ready to move on, and they're just trying to be as coy as they can be about it so they can trade him, just like they traded Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah.
Maybe they can do one of those grains of rice, grains of sand, balance out the you give us a fourth-round pick this year, we'll give you a fifth-round pick next year, and you give us a sixth-round pick this year, we'll give you a seventh-round pick next year, and they get some value, they move on from the $2 million. But they're going to avoid the $2 million easily because, I mean, I don't know. At this point, the longer you hold him, the less he's going to get on the open market. Seats are going to fill up. If the Dolphins are interested, they used a third-round pick
on
a running back.
Yeah,
I just don't, and they got Raheem Mostert, and they've got several very good running backs there. Hey, you know what? How about this? I hadn't thought about this. But if you would trade him to the Dolphins, maybe you get one of those running backs
back
from Miami.
They might.
And then that's how you replace Dalvin Cook.
Trade's one thing. I mean, this is, you know, you're bringing up an element where trade, yeah, okay, he's going to see his money. The release thing's a different thing there. I don't know. I mean, you know, was he going to get released and get a $10 million payday from somebody on an open market? I don't know if that'll happen either.
And I'm not sure if he's traded, he walks through the door with
and
his
gets
contract
exactly,
as
right,
is.
I think
he's going to have to redo his contract, which complicates a trade.
Yeah, yeah. I would think that's a possibility. Or if it stays as is, does the team that wants to trade for him ask the Vikings to pay a little bit of the contract altogether? I think there's a lot of things that are probably on the table here as far as figuring this situation out. But yeah, where he ends up, all that, hey, we know it's you know, it's down the downward slope, but damn, this is still one of the most explosive running backs in all of football.
The Denver Broncos before the draft left the door wide open to add a running back.
Yeah.
Sean Payton talked about the situation in New Orleans several years ago when they had Mark Ingram, they had Adrian Peterson, but there's Alvin Kamara. He loved him. He brought him in. They've got Javonte Williams in Denver, who's recovering from a torn ACL. They added Samaje Perine, who they really like and think can do anything that they require. They didn't draft a running back, and it may be because they have real confidence that Javonte Williams is going to be ready to go. Here's Sean Payton from the Mother's Day weekend rookie minicamp talking about Javonte Williams and where he stands in his recovery from the torn ACL.
Our current starters are doing extremely well. I would tell you that we expect him to be ready for the start of training camp, and that's good news. Javonte, yeah, his rehab's going well, and I don't want to speak for him or Bo or anyone else, but we get the daily reports.
Yeah, look, who knows at this point? They're not required to tell us anything about anyone's injuries until the first injury report's released in advance of week one. But they seem to be optimistic.
For him to say that, that's odd. That strong
and
positive about it.
And so it's Williams, it's Perine, and maybe they have some undrafted guy who develops somebody else deeper in the roster that I don't know about or that I'm not thinking of. But it was a serious injury for Javonte Williams, and it's part of the reality we talked about last segment with Jahmyr Gibbs. This is what happens to running backs. Javonte Williams was one of those guys that had that fantasy football gleam
last year.
Really
good rookie year.
A guy who can really come in and make a difference, and then boom, it just like that,
yeah,
it can be over, and you better be ready to pivot to someone else. So, and again, that may be what's factoring into the Vikings' thinking. Like you said, he's healthy for now, Dalvin Cook is, but how long
will it
be healthy?
How long does it last?
And is this enough? Is this too much money to invest in a position where the position itself is conducive to the kind of injury where you're saying, man, we got a lot of money that's sitting on the bench. We got a lot of money that's on IR.
Right.
We got a lot of money that's not available to help us win football games. So the ship is sailing literally and figuratively for Dalvin Cook in Minnesota, Javonte Williams. The sun is rising on what will be his third season. Let's go ahead and take a break. When we return, we're going to take another look at the 2023 schedule with a game of fill in the blank. Monday, PFT Live, both of us in studio. Back after this.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact, with semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch. It's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.